to the Midland County Food Pantry was $2,632. Throughout Advent, we collected special donations for the Readers to Leaders program, and that offering reached a total of $12,387.
Wow.
What an amazing way to show how much you care for your neighbors. Your giving to the general fund of the church was also generous through the end of the year. After the final calculations for 2023 were completed, we could see that our church ended the year with income almost $29,000 above expenses. Again, thank you for your generosity in giving, and thank you to all the work areas who showed outstanding stewardship in controlling their spending. Now, as we look ahead to 2024, we face the challenge of funding a budget of just over $1.4 million, which was recently approved by the Strategic Leadership Council. We have received 156 estimate of giving cards, and the total amount pledged is $542,000. That's approximately 93% of the total amount pledged for the previous year. However, we know from analyzing giving patterns over the last several years that we receive approximately 30% more income than what is pledged. So when we add the amount to the we add that amount to the estimate of giving, we believe our income will really be just below $700,000 in 2024. Soon we will also know the amount that could be drawn from the endowment as we calculate our 5% rolling average that we pull from that fund. Preliminary calculations show that endowment income will be around $545,000. So when we add all of our sources of income, the $700,000 in giving and the $545,000 from the endowment, we believe we will still show a deficit of approximately $138,000. Now, we do have the surplus from 2023 and other reserve funds that we can draw upon if needed, but to meet this budget, we will all need to be consistent in our giving while we once again challenge our staff and work areas to control discretionary spending whenever possible. I will continue to provide updates periodically so that everyone stays aware of our financial situation. And as always, we thank you for your generous support of our church.
Thank you, Bill. If you have any questions about our church's financial situation, please, you know, reach out to Bill Pritchett or, you know, Danny Bucklow, any people on our accounting team, and they will share with you more in detail, okay? And let us give a big hand to our God for using us for God's mission, you know, last year. Yeah. Thank you so much for your continued support for the missions we have, you know, in our church. And as you know, next Sunday, we are going to have a town hall meeting, so we can share with you about what's going on in our church, you know, next, you know, Sunday, right after, you know, first, you know, service. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. In 2 weeks, not next Sunday. I'm so sorry for that. In 2 weeks. So we have a special video clip for you. Let us watch this, you know, video together.
Good morning, friends and neighbors. I am here to invite you to participate in our Lenten Bible study. We will be studying the book called A Purpose-Driven Life by Reverend Rick Warren. If you are someone who is really struggling with what it is you are supposed to be doing with your life, or someone who has had a significant change and you feel like your purpose is now different, this is a great chance for you to be able to get together with your friends, families, and neighbors to be able to discover what it is God has created you for and what your purpose is. I want to share with you a couple of words that Rick Warren has shared with us. Firstly, he tells us that living with purpose is the only way to really live. So I challenge you and ask you, what is holding you back from participating in this study and participating in God's purpose for your life?
Thank you, Yabe. Rob Kinnun from our hospitality team, he has a presentation about this, you know, program, you know, to us. Rob? Yep.
Good morning, church family. My name is Rob Kinnun, and I would like to take a moment to invite you to join an exciting all-church opportunity. Pastor Yum has called by the Holy Spirit to share a specific book and Bible study with us, you just seen. Now he is calling on us, the people of the church family, to all come together and respond together. God is wanting us to do something fresh and new in each of our lives as we come together to worship him, hear from his word, and experience even more in his presence. No matter how long it's been since you have been to Midland First Study, We'd love to see you. This will be a great opportunity, an impactful opportunity, to connect or reconnect with people who care about you and your faith journey. Please join us every Wednesday during Lent, February 21st through March 27th, for a church-wide study on the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. Here we will explore what our purpose is on earth and why our life matters to God. Each week there will be a meal provided in the fellowship hall from 5 to 5:50. We know this is a busy time, so please feel free to arrive when you can. After dinner, there will be a short time of praise and worship, followed by a time of study, and at 6:40, and we will have that in discussion groups until 8 o'clock. There will also be study groups offered on Wednesday afternoons at 3:30 if you can't make it to that. Books for the study are available at the reception desk in the church and during normal office hours and on Sunday mornings. A suggested $10 donation to cover the cost of the book is appreciated, but not required. We'd also love to have friends and neighbors gather with us, so please feel free to invite them. As well, we have childcare provided, and if you are available to come to the meal and nothing else, that's also okay. You can register for this opportunity using the link in the e-blast or our church website, or by calling Natalie during church hours. My wife Heidi and I will be in the parlor after this service, and we invite you to join us for a cup of coffee and sign up. We'd be happy to help you. Let us prepare our hearts and our schedules so we will not miss out on the nudge from the Holy Spirit, and so we do not miss one thing the Lord has planned for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Please prayerfully prepare this special event, you know, together. And also invite your friends and neighborhoods to come to our church, even though they are not able to attend our Bible study. But they are welcome to join our fellowship time. Okay? Please, let's prayerfully prepare for this, you know, special event together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So why don't you stand up? And when we greet one another, let's do that in Korean way. Just, you know, bow your head on the waist, okay?
to remain standing as you are able. Let us begin with the call to worship. Lord, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. All you who believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
May God sanctify us in the truth, because his word is true.
The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? May we draw near to God and he to us in this hour, so that we who know the truth may love it more deeply and be further compelled to share the love of God with the people around us. God bless you. Amen.
I'm going to invite the children to come on up. And while the children are coming up, I want to invite each of us here to take a moment in prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray for the children, our children who are here, our children who will be with us next week and the week after. Lord, I want you to, as a congregation, let's pray for our Sunday school. May it be everything, God, that you want it to be, that you need it to be. Let's just take a moment to pray for our kids. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I held this microphone, and I get to hold it again, and I get to say this again. Go Lions. You have a Michigan gal teaching Sunday school and a Kansas gal teaching Sunday school. So,
go Chiefs.
We were made to be joyful people, folks, and if football brings you a little bit of joy, amen. Watch that game tonight, and if we're here in 2 weeks, even better. Maybe it will be together. We'll have to wait tonight and see. Right, so we are in the book of Luke today in Sunday school, and I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do, friends. People aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. Reverend Yum's not perfect. None of us are perfect. Sometimes we judge others. We look at each other, boys and girls, and we make judgments, or we think things based on what we see when we look at people. Or maybe even we make judgments from a little bit of what we've talked to people about. Today when we go to Sunday school in the Bible, Jesus talks to lots of people who believed that when folks were sick, people actually believed this, guys. When folks were sick or they were in prison, they thought that those people were being punished by God. It hurts my heart to even say that out loud right now. We're going to find out what Jesus said and had to say to those people who were sick and those people who were in prison. We're going to say a prayer, and it's going to be a responding prayer. So I'll get it started. I can get some help from everyone to respond with this phrase. Help us to show them your love. So help us to show them your love. All right? Let's give that a try. Loving God, you call us, each one of us, to show your love to everyone. Today we lift up to you, Lord, the people who are sick. Help us to show your love to everyone. We lift up to you people who are sad. Help us to show them your love. People who are in prison, help us to show them your love. Lord, we lift up to you people who don't have enough to eat. Help us to show them your love. People who don't look like us, help us to show them your love. Lord, we lift up to you people who don't agree with us. Help us to show them your love. Lord, we lift up to you people who are mean to us. Help us to show them your love. Lord, help us to show these and all people your gracious love. Amen.
Thank you so much, choir. And it's a great blessing for Carol and I to be here with you this morning. We're privileged to be able to stay connected and see so many good friends and meet new friends. I appreciate the ministry of Reverend Yum and all the staff here, and God bless you for what you're doing. And so we're looking forward to sharing this story with you this morning. I'll be leading us in the pastoral prayer this morning. So if you would bow your heads with me as I and pray in your heart as I lead us in prayer. God, we praise you and we thank you for this privilege of being in your house with your people in your presence, O Lord. Help us now this morning to turn our thoughts aside from all the hectic pace of life and help us to focus on you and your goodness and your purpose for us. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning to minister, and I pray that what we share would be a great blessing, O Lord. We ask, O God, that in this hour that you would refresh us, renew us, and equip us to be your people in the world. We ask, Lord, that as we worship you, that we would bring you a blessing, that you would have joy from what is in our hearts. God, I lift up before you the ministries of this church, the children's ministry, the youth, family, retirees, people that need care and facilities, those we minister to in the hospital, those that are in the prison. God, I pray for each and every person that goes to show love to someone that's alone and or ill, that you would bless them as they go, and pray that you would bring healing to the sick and bring a renewal to all people. Lord, we just pray for this community, for Midland and the surrounding areas. May this church be a blessing to it, and may we be a light that's shining brightly, that lets people know that Christ is the Creator, the Redeemer, and the one that loves us, O God. We pray for our sister churches. We pray for all the turmoil that's been in the United Methodist Church. God, lead us forward on a new path to a new way to serve you and love you. We pray, dear Lord, for our world, for the struggles that we see, for people in poverty, for those that are broken. God, we pray for the war in Ukraine and for the great losses. We pray for comfort. We pray for the churches to do their ministry. For the refugees, we ask that you'd comfort them and bless them. And Lord, we just give you every single thing that we do. We pray for the war in Israel. We ask that peace would be found there, as you would also bring peace to Ukraine, for you are the Prince of Peace. Help us, Lord, to declare that in this broken world. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we pray together the Lord's Prayer as Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now we come to a time of offering. Please, you know, take out our friendship pad and let us know you are here, you know, today. And I really appreciate your continued support for our missions. Please do so continually with your prayers and also with your financial support. Ushers, please, you know, come forward.
Overjoyed. to cross over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land, when all is peace?
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives, our family members, and also our business, and also our job, and also our relationship with other people. God, as a token of our love and commitment to you, we give these offerings to you, Lord. Please, God, use them only for your kingdom and only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 10 through 15. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be able to share with you this morning about our mission trip last fall in September and October to Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. I appreciate your prayers, your support, and I'm also very grateful for this mission ministry of this church. It's really powerful. In 1939, the people of Lithuania looked out their windows to see Nazi soldiers marching into the town of Klaipėda. They saw the feet of those who had boots that were storming into their country that would send shockwaves down their spine. This is actually Hitler marching into the town of Klaipėda, and Europe said, even before the war began, that you can take this part of the nation. And we were there, I think, even on that street. But death and destruction had arrived. Ezekiel said in chapter 26 that there would be a day when enemies would plunder your wealth and loot your merchandise. It'll break down your walls and demolish your homes. And this is what happened. Well, after Nazi Germany controlled Lithuania for a few years, then Russia came in and dominated and persecuted Jews and Christians and all people. The suffering was enormous. Pastors were killed, churches were closed, and millions were sent to Siberia where they died and suffered. Friends, I want you to know that Carol and I care about this part of the world because of the enormous struggle that they've been through, that's still with them. And now they are in the shadow of destruction of the Ukraine war, where the United States estimates that 500,000 people have died. So the feet of German soldiers and Russian soldiers were not beautiful at all. But 50 years later, in the early 90s, the General Board of Global Ministries of our church went back to Lithuania. The churches were all closed, and they found some people that said, let's start the churches again. And they opened the doors, and 11 churches were begun there in Lithuania. And the scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. I count that as a miracle that 11 churches that had been gone for 50 years reopened. God can do amazing things. Carol and I sought to be the feet that were beautiful in the cities we served. We primarily ministered in the city of Pilviske, and there in that town, we met Jeannie Reimer and her husband Dennis, and they have been involved in Pilviske for 25 years. Jeannie was the one that invited me to take this ministry on. This was our second trip to the Baltic, and in that time that we were with them, the annual conference was being held in Lithuania, and the churches, the pastors, and the lay people were there. And I was invited to bring four messages in one day, one-hour messages with translator and all of that. And they asked me to share what I had learned in ministry. And I told them everything about what I experienced in Midland. No, I'm just kidding. I told them about all the years of ministry and all the things that I learned. It was a blessing to share that. And I'll tell you, I felt like we had renewal. And it was just beautiful. And we shared about vision. And God burned in my heart the challenge that was needed to give to those people. They struggle because they only have one ordained pastor. And now there's only six churches. And so we had gone to Pilviske to help shore them up because they don't have a pastor. But in that ministry there at the annual conference speaking, I just felt so connected with the people. And I challenged them on Saturday, we must have prayer. We must seek God. We must see God work through prayer. And then you also need prayer for healing, for people to be blessed. And the next day, the bishop said, we're going to invite people forward for healing prayer, as was mentioned on Saturday. And so we formed three lines. You can see Carolyn there ministering to people. And we were praying for all these people coming forward. And after we finished, three people came up and they said, now, Pastor, we want to pray for you. And they laid hands on me and they prayed fervently that God would use my hands and feet and that I would be the messenger he wanted me to be. And I tell you, I was in tears. Well, the annual conference was over a few days, and then we went on to Pilviske, and it was so great to see the people that we had gotten acquainted with last year. This church was built by the church that you just see. We'll go back a little bit. That church you see there was built by some congregations in Wisconsin, and it was a wonderful building. And inside that building, there's a stained glass window. And when I was preaching one day, a lady said to me, "Do you know who gave us that stained glass window?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Dr. Bill Quick." I said, "You have to be kidding. He was my mentor. He's the one that called me to Michigan to serve in pastoral ministry." I felt that God had ordained that we were there. One day, we arrived early, and our translator was not there. Now, we know a few words, but not enough to converse. And I called the office. I said, "Where's our translator?" And they said, "She went to the Catholic Church by mistake." So we're waiting 15, 20 minutes or more, and I didn't know what to do. I'm looking out the window, and a car drives up, and two gentlemen get out, and one man is African, and then there's another young man. I went up and greeted them. I said, "Great to have you today." And the fellow, Jeffrey, you can see on the left there, he's from Ghana, and he had married a Lithuanian woman, and he had looked on the web, and he found this church, and he came, and he wanted to worship there, and he brought his wife's son, Pavlos. And Pavlos knew English and Lithuanian, so he translated for us till our translator got there. And we conscripted him to meet with us later and help translate in a visitation. There you can see in the church me preaching. And there's a fellowship. They gave us so much good food. It was just so wonderful. But after the service where Jeffrey and Pavlos were there, we went to visit this 95-year-old lady, Amelia, there you can see on the left. Amelia's story is just incredible. As a child of 12, she had seen the Nazi soldiers coming into Pilviske. She watched them from a tree ejecting Jewish people out of their homes, beating them, looting the homes. And later she watched as they made them dig ditches for what they said was going to be for peat moss. And then they shot them and buried them in those same ditches. They killed almost 2,000 people in this town of Pilviske where we served. And we did not know that until this year. And the line of the war was right between the town. Amelia's testimony was so vivid and powerful that she was interviewed for a documentary that was shown here in the United States. There you can see the Israeli flag, and on the right is a memorial to the people that died in that area. There's a feeling of guilt among Lithuanians because some of the citizens joined in with the Nazi soldiers and participated in the brutality. And so here you can see the Jewish flag, Israeli flag, flying in the capital, showing their concern for the suffering there. Friends, this is why we have a burden for this part of the world. The people of Eastern Europe have suffered so much, and it's so easy to forget. The suffering went for over 50 years, and churches were closed, pastors were killed. And as I said, they still stand in the shadow of the former persecution now that Putin has invaded Ukraine. I believe that God wants to use us to minister to those people, to bring them the gospel, to rebuild their churches, to bring the hope and healing of Jesus Christ. And in that country, in those countries, sometimes only 3 or 4% of the people have faith. and go to church. And so the Bible says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And we represented you there in that nation. Now, I want you to know, when we go there, we minister in churches, we minister in conferences, we minister in special mission outreaches, but we seek to let our light shine. And Carolyn was able to give a cross to her hairdresser and share the faith with her. And I was on a train with a young man, and I was actually working on a message for my conference talks. And we were chatting. He was a young man, a basketball player, and he started looking over at my laptop. And he said, What are you doing? I said, I'm working on a message. And he said, what are you speaking on? I said, I'm speaking on vision. So we started to talk about vision and purpose. And then I started to talk about God's vision for our life and how if we follow God's vision, we can be a success and we can find what is best for our lives. And he's nodding his head and he's, you know, going on and on. I said, Ruxatis, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. And then he texted his mother and he said, you won't believe who I met on the train. And now we're Facebook friends. But I want to tell you folks, whether it's in Eastern Europe, whether it's in Midland, wherever we are, we must be a light. And we must look for opportunities to share faith with others and to invite them to worship and to know Christ. Well, after a number of days in Pilviske, we traveled to Latvia. The United Methodist leaders there are Gita Mednis and also Gita Banane. They organized a time of visitation for us with Ukrainian refugees. Last year, we met about 6 people. This year, we met with 9 families out on the street on a cafe, and we heard them share their stories. We treated them to coffee. And the church that we served this past spring, Flushing United Methodist Church, knit hats and gloves and scarves and booties and all these different kinds of things, socks, and we gave them to them, and they were just astounded. And we had prayer with them. We gave them financial gifts. And I'm still in touch with a number of them through email. One leader in Estonia said that the Methodist churches there have cared for 2,000 refugees, and approximately somewhere around 150,000 or more refugees have been cared for by Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and the total population of these 3 countries is just under 6 million. You can know that your churches there are making a difference. And we've got to make a difference because a Holocaust is going on again in Ukraine. People still lack food, shelter, medicine, jobs. And the travesty in Israel is also horrible. We need to remember both in our prayers. Well, while we were there in Latvia, and it's just a short train ride away from where we were in Lithuania, we visited the Hope Center. The Hope Center is a ministry to young women who have disadvantages, learning disabilities, have children, and they are given a place to stay, clothing, food, help them with job skills. They have Bible studies with them, and it's a tremendous ministry. We also gave them knitted hats, scarves, and socks from the Flushing Church, where, by the way, do y'all know who's serving in Flushing? Ruth Vandersandy, who was here with you. And so that same church gave a lot of these things, knit them. Well, how many know that when you have plans, sometimes they don't go the way you want them to? Carolyn got COVID just before we were to go to Estonia. I kept testing, and I was negative. So sadly, I took off without her. I was scheduled to speak at the seminary. And I want to say thank you. This church has supported the seminary, and I'm grateful for that. And while in Estonia, I visited Ormas Lahuvarm. And there he is with a big Norwegian fish. And you have supported that church in Haapsalu. And there's a lady just down the street from Estonia, and I'm hoping to visit her this afternoon. But we've been connected with Haapsalu, and I talk with Ormas on Skype almost monthly. And there you can see him and some of the members that are there. Rauno there is the new pastor. Ormas is retired, and the church is now growing under their ministry. I was also able this year to visit the Lighthouse Ministry in Tallinn. It's a children's day center for 7 to 15-year-olds. It's both Estonian and Russian-speaking school children at risk. These kids would be on the street if it weren't for this ministry. They also provide food, clothing, schooling, recreation. They minister to 28 kids. They're from broken homes, and these kids would be on the street without this ministry. We also gave gifts to the work there, and Veronica, you can see with me, is a tremendous leader. It was also great while in Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, to be back at the seminary. And the seminary has 23 new students enrolled. And I noticed that many of the students are very young. And these are students that are going to be pastors for the future United Methodist Church. I preached there. I also led a class on worship. And I continue to be a trustee there in the seminary. Thank you again for your gifts. One of the most exciting aspects of the seminary is that they have students from Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, Estonia, Latvia, Finland, all these countries. Do you know what it's like when the war, you know what it was like when the war broke out and an Estonian student sat across the room from a sat at a table with a Belarusian and Russian student? Wasn't easy. And they've learned to work through their differences, and they've learned to become united in Christ. And that's one of the reasons I want to be part of the ministry there in that seminary. Well, one amazing discovery, you can see a lady there on the left. Her name is Colleen, and her husband had come from Ukraine to work in the seminary there in Tallinn. And I asked her, I said, Colleen, I said, where are you from? And she said, Michigan. I said, well, where are you from in Michigan? And she said, Brown City. I said, Brown City? That's my wife's hometown. And guess where I'm serving right now, part-time preaching? Brown City. Like, we live in a very small world, friends. And so this was just so beautiful to learn. Well, when we came back and I found that I had COVID also, and then we had to quarantine for a few days, but we were blessed after that, that our son-in-law, Tyler, and our daughter, Natalie, who just gave birth to our grandchild, Rua Joy, December 20th, they came to see us from Kyrgyzstan, and they really needed some rest. They needed a break. We tried to help them relax, but we asked them to go to the Bible study in Pilviske. And so while we were there, Tyler shared his story and their call to missions. And then after the Bible study, Tyler learned Russian and he began to speak to the people in Russian. And wow, did they ever light up having a language that they could understand from my son-in-law and our daughter. And so that was a powerful, powerful moment. Do any of you remember when I did the fishes and loaves sermon and we had people come forward for like 150 loaves of bread? Does anybody remember that? And I invited you to take them to your neighbors? Well, we did that in Pilviske. And I bought 44 loaves of wonderful bread. Every person in the service, by the way, the church grew while we were there. That was really exciting. And we gave everybody a loaf of bread, and then we gave them a second loaf. We said, would you take it to your neighbor? And would you show them God's love and invite them to church? One lady that they gave bread to said, I've never received anything from a church. And she said, this is wonderful. Another lady that received the loaf of bread decided to come. You can see her there in the mauve scarf. And she was in the Bible study. And she said, I know everybody in this town, and I'm going to invite them all to come to church. It was so wonderful. We gave her a cross, and one day when we were leaving, she was holding that cross up to the sky and giving thanks to God. It was just a beautiful ministry amongst them. We also met a young woman in our apartment, and her name was Nora Sasor. Nora was from Israel. And Nora was half Muslim and half Jew. Her father was Muslim, her mother was Jewish. And she told us, JD and Carolyn, she said, the Jewish deli will not sell me food because I'm part Muslim. She was a medical student. And she said, JD, she said, I'm afraid for the other medical students because some of them are supporters of Hamas. I'm afraid for my life. So she's being rejected by Jews, being rejected by Muslims. So we said, Nora, would you come to church and worship with us? Now, I don't know what it's like for you when you invite someone that's Muslim to church or someone that's Jewish. It's not the easiest thing to come. Nora said, sure, I'll come. So we drove an hour to church, and there on that Sunday, we had candles for All Saints Day. We lit candles for her parents who both had died. And those women just hugged Nora. Oh, my goodness, the love they showed for her, it was so beautiful. And Carolyn said to her at the end of the day, Nora, Jesus loves you. And she wasn't ready yet to say Jesus, but she said, God, I know, loves me. And so we're in touch with Nora, and she may even come over to visit here in the United States. But God was working in marvelous ways. And we ask that you would unite with us in partnership to pray for this part of the world, to consider what you can give to make a difference. We were at this one church you can see on the left, a Catholic church, and it was built around, I think, the time when they got their freedom in Glasnost in the early 90s. And this is one of the highest points in the city. And that platform there, you're about 60, 70 feet up, and then the cross goes up another 30, 40 feet. And so it towers over the city, and our prayer is that Christ's love, that the message of the cross would tower over that city of Kaunas where we stayed, and that God would bless that nation. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning. I'm going to turn the service over to Reverend Young. I guess we can sing our next hymn, though. We can go right into that, all right? More Like You. We're going to sing that hymn. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of ministering this morning, and I thank you for your people here at Midland First and the work that you're doing. And God, whether it's in South America or Africa or Asia or Eastern Europe or right here in Midland, we want to be your lights. We want to be your witnesses. We want to bring your message to people that they would know you and that they would be more like you and that they would find your healing and your hope. Bless us all in that work, O God. And every day, may we ask, who can I touch? Who can I bless? Who can I pray for? Who can I share the good news with? And God, bring all to yourself through your love, through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.